And welcome to Grad Next Audio, brought to you by Study Trust, Van Schaick Publishers, Capitec, and me, Ruda Landman. These podcasts go with a booklet called Grad Next, which is available to download for free on the same platform where you found this podcast. Grad Next was created to help you cross the gap between being a student and being a working adult. It consists of four sections: knowing yourself, finding the opportunities, the practicalities of getting a job, and then finally, being a working adult. A huge part of being a working adult is managing your money. We started talking about that last time. Now we get to the nitty-gritty, creating a budget and sticking to it. Here's some advice from one of your peers to start off. "Getting my first salary was exciting," she writes. "I felt like an adult. I didn't use it so wisely, but soon had to learn how to manage what I thought was big money. Fortunately, I had learnt all about budgeting through my bursary stipend, but sticking to the plan can be tough if your peers are doing lavish things. To get the most from your money each month, you need to plan and track your spending. A money plan or budget gives you clarity about how much money you have and what you plan to spend it on. It's the best way to make sure you spend your money wisely and have enough when you need it. Here's how to get started. Number one, write down your total guaranteed monthly income. Sometimes only a portion of your salary is guaranteed and the rest is performance related, such as commission. It's best to use a conservative estimate at the start. Once you've built up a track record, work with an average from, say, your first 6 months. Then number two, list your expenses. Don't forget to include all your regular monthly expenses, such as transport, rent, data, airtime, food, toiletries, entertainment, etc., as well as infrequent expenses, such as what you may spend over the festive season or getting your car serviced. If you're not yet sure how much is a realistic amount for a category, put down your best guess and then adjust your budget over time based on your actual spending. For infrequent expenses, work out how much you need to save each month. Include this as a saving in your budget. Set this money aside each month to make sure you have enough when you need it. For example, you won't buy a pair of shoes every month, but at some point you're going to need it. So create a category for clothes and put a little bit of money into that every month so that when you need it, it's there. Then number three, track your spending. No matter how small, each expense adds up. Keep tabs on your spending by using your banking app, bank statements, and receipts. Regularly review how much you spend to see if you're on track. At the end of the month, compare your planned spending with your actual spending. If you find you consistently overspend in one category, you may need to adjust your budget. And here's a tip. Work out how much you have to spend on food and entertainment per day. Divide your food and entertainment budget for the month by the number of days in the month. If you overspend one day, you know you have less to spend the next day. For instance, you may want to make sure you spend less on weekdays so that you can spend a little more on the weekend. Capitec has developed a great template to help you set out your budget and track your spending. Do go to the Grad Next booklet, print it out and use it, at least the first time round. You can always adapt it as you go along to make it suit your purposes. Sticking to a budget doesn't have to be a painful exercise. Treating yourself from time to time isn't bad. You just need to be sensible about it. Here's a comment from a recent graduate. "At first, I thought my salary was a lot of money, but as time goes by, I needed more as I had signed up for services such as the gym, Wi-Fi, etc. Family also expects you to assist financially as you have a job, so that also impacts finances. Learning to stick to the budget is a bit of a challenge, given that you have to say no to family, etc., and resist buying takeaways that seem necessary given long working hours." Now, how to stay on track. Review your needs and your wants every now and again. Some of your expenses are essential. Those are needs, such as food, rent. If you're still studying, you would need textbooks. You need these things to stay safe and healthy and productive. Others are nice-to-haves, wants, like takeaways, a concert or a movie, fancy clothes. There's nothing wrong with spending money on fun things, but you will have challenges if you don't take all your essential expenses into account first. Let's talk a bit about good spending habits. Be smart about how you spend your money. Get into the habit of checking and comparing the prices of items and services. You can do this at shops or online, not only for big purchases, but also for small items that you buy regularly. You can also consider buying items secondhand, as you'll often snag a good deal at a great price. And now, a very important point. Make credit a tool, not a trap. Credit can be a great tool to help you achieve your goals, but it can also become a trap that makes it much harder to reach your dreams. Most people will use credit at some point, so it's essential to understand how it works and how to make smart decisions about when to use it. Credit is an amount that you borrow from a credit provider who is willing to lend it to you. When you use that credit, you create debt. For example, if you have a store card, credit is the total amount you're able to spend on the card. But each time you use it to make a purchase, you create debt. When you use credit, you are spending money that you haven't even earned yet. This means that for months or years to come, some of your salary already belongs to someone else. If you're using credit for daily expenses or to buy things that don't add long-term value to your life, you will always be paying for past decisions instead of using your money to build your future. But credit can be valuable when it's used to help you reach your goals, like buying a home or a reliable car or equipment that could allow you to earn more or to start or grow a business. One thing you need to consider is how much is credit actually costing you? When you decide to use credit, you need to understand how much it will cost you and then plan for the full monthly expense in your budget. Just as you would for a big purchase, you should compare your options and find the best offer available. The total cost of credit is the amount you borrow plus all of the interest and fees you will pay. Interest is the money you pay in return for using credit. It is charged as a percentage of the amount that you owe. Every month, part of your credit repayment is used to pay interest. So the more you pay back, the less interest you will pay every month. A portion of your monthly payment also covers fees. These fees could include an initiation fee, monthly service fees, or credit life insurance fees. Before you take up credit, make sure you understand the total cost with interest rate and fees and use this to compare offers. You will keep paying interest and fees for as long as it takes to repay your debt. If you miss any payments, added interest could even start increasing the amount that you owe. Remember that the longer you take to repay debt, the more it will cost you. But this also means that with most debt, the sooner you repay it, the less it will cost you. Here's some good advice from a recent graduate. Moving to stay alone and trying to manage on my small salary was not helpful. I had to adjust, but with time, I managed my finances well and was cutting down on debts and stopped spending money I did not have. The most important part is to have less debts and try not to be impulsive when spending. Some common debt mistakes. Avoid a car debt trap. Buying a car is a big goal for many young South Africans, but overspending on cars is also one of their most common financial regrets. Remember, a car starts losing value the moment you drive off with it, but the payments will keep coming off your account for years to come. Consider the following. Number one, don't let your dream car cause you nightmares. Spending more than you can afford will have a serious impact on your cash flow and your ability to meet other financial priorities. Shop to meet your practical needs, not to impress. It doesn't have to be a brand new BMW. Number two, don't take a balloon payment. A balloon or residual payment is a lump sum portion of a loan that you only repay at the end of the loan term. This means that your monthly installment is lower, but at the end of the loan agreement, you will need to pay the full outstanding lump sum in one go. In most cases, people have to take out another loan to pay for the balloon payment, meaning even more time and money spent on interest and fees. Number three, do save for a deposit. Before you buy a car, save up for a deposit. It could help you qualify for a better interest rate, and you'll also pay lower monthly installments and reduce the total cost of the car because you will borrow less and pay less interest. Number four, do take a shorter repayment term if you can afford higher installments. The longer it takes to repay a loan, the more it costs you in interest and fees. For example, if you buy a car for 100,000 Rand and you pay it off over 48 months, 4 years, at 12.5%, you'll pay about 27,500 in interest. Extend the repayment period to 72 months, that's 6 years, and the total interest rises to around 42,500. So try and pay it off as soon as you can. It's cheaper. Number five, do budget for all of the extra costs. Cars come with many extra costs like insurance, petrol, maintenance, and licensing. Make sure you've planned all of these in your budget before you decide how much you can comfortably afford to repay every month. How much deposit do you need? Well, to save for a deposit, work out how much the installment will be for the kind of car you hope to buy. Then add up all of the additional expenses and add this total to the installment amount. Save this amount for at least 3 months. This gives you savings for a deposit, but it also gives you a chance to test how comfortable your budget feels when you can't use this money each month. Here's a real-life example about saving and then spending. Whenever you can, get into this habit of saving to make purchases rather than buying on credit. It can save you a fortune. Here's why. Let's say you want a new HDTV. You found one, 39-inch screen, built-in soundbar, it's perfect. The price is 3,600. If you buy it on credit over 12 months, and the monthly repayment is 355 Rand, it will end up costing you a total of 4,260 Rand. In other words, you'll pay an extra 660 in interest and fees. If you wait and save the 355 for 12 months instead, you could buy the TV for the 3,600 in cash and then use the 660 Rand for other goals. So if you can, save first, buy then. Whatever the goal, you can take this approach. Work out how much you need in total and how much you need to save each month to reach your goal by the time you want it. Then get saving and ideally earn interest while you do it. That was episode 18 of Grad Next Audio. Next time, we'll talk about two things. First, saving. And then a sensitive subject, the responsibilities that may come your way as you start earning your money. Please join us again. And remember, you can also download the text for free on the same platform where you found this podcast. Goodbye. Until next time.